Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
We were talking to RTE's Barry Lenehan a little bit earlier on, and he was awaiting the sentencing of David Holden in Belfast for the manslaughter of Aidan McInnesby. Now, we know that that sentencing is not going to happen until next Friday, but we'll get an update from Barry as to why that decision has been taken before the end of the programme. Now, though, it's time for the Friday gathering, and this week I'm joined in the studio by Leader of the Labour Party, Ivana Bacic, Fine Gael TD for Dublin South West, Colin Brophy, Group Head of News at independent.ie, Kevin Doyle, and Ciara Phelan, political correspondent with the Irish Examiner. You're all very welcome. Thank you for being here this morning. Ivana, first to you, because Micheál Lehane last night on the 9 o'clock news said that your party is actively considering asking the Dáil Members' Interest Committee to look at the actions of Damien English, the former Minister of State. Now, explain to us what's happening there and what you're thinking.
Well, good morning, Claire, and thank you for inviting me on the programme. And yes, as you say, we are in the Labour Party, we are considering making a complaint to the Committee on members' interests in the Dáil. And I suppose the reality is, in the last 2 weeks, with the focus on the SIPO issue and on Minister Pascal Donoghue, it's perhaps been overlooked that, you know, another Fine Gael minister had resigned as minister due to the issue of non-disclosure of ownership of a home in an application to Meath County Council in 2008. And certainly that's the issue about which many constituents and others are contacting me and expressing concern. So I did raise this in the Dáil with the Taoiseach last week, and he referred to internal disciplinary procedures within Fine Gael. He said this was behaviour that wasn't tolerable within Fine Gael, because clearly former Minister English is still a member of the Fine Gael Parliamentary Party. So this week I asked him again on Wednesday about this issue. And I should say, we've been measured in the Labour Party, I mean, you know, about all of this. I don't think it's helpful to anyone to engage in any sort of witch hunt, but I am interested genuinely in what the Taoiseach proposes to do. And the Taoiseach on Wednesday merely said to me, this is a matter for Meath County Council. So at this point, I think we are looking into the and actively considering the making of a complaint to the Committee on Members' Interests.
Why the delay in making a decision on this from the Labour Party point of view?
Well, I want to be fair about this. I want to give the Taoiseach another chance to say what action he proposes to take as leader of Fine Gael about this issue, about whether he proposes to take any action. That's for him. That's for the internal.
And what would satisfy you?
Well, I think, let's put it this way, Claire. I think we've seen other TDs and ministers who've had similar issues or issues that have brought, you know, let's say conduct that wouldn't be tolerated by a political party, where they've lost the whip for a period of time. That's the sort of measure that is taken. And I should say also that in Labour, you know, we've put forward strong ethics legislation over many years. We watched the, may I say, the unedifying spectacle of Fine Gael and Sinn Féin trading insults about dodgy dealings and funny money during this week. We see Sinn Féin now under the spotlight, rightly, for multiple non-disclosures of pertinent spending during elections, including, you know, large amounts on opinion polls, on hiring venues. But, you know, there's also those of us in opposition, particularly in Labour, who, you know, who want to ensure that there are high standards in public life, okay, but also that we're getting on with things that really matter to people. And housing is something that matters. Okay. We have thousands of people, still in young people, but not so young people also, still having to live with their parents because they cannot get a home.
Okay,
people who've been denied planning permission for homes in rural areas, for first homes.
Okay.
And, you know, this is the sort of thing that,
right,
I think people really do get rightly, justifiably frustrated about.
Your response to that, would you rather see the Taoiseach taking action that would satisfy Ivana's Labour Party, or would it be preferable for the Members' Interest Committee to examine this?
Well, it's what Ivana's done is typical Labour Party, unfortunately, or the modern-day Labour Party. As you quite rightly picked her up on, she is dragging this out by not making a complaint, but having a think about it, so as that she can basically have a go at dragging this out, keeping it alive as an issue. Damien English paid a very high price. He resigned his ministry for a mistake he made, and he acknowledged quite clearly that he did that. I think it is regrettable that what we had, and by the way, Ivana, I was present there. You played your part in the argy-bargy of the last week. It is regrettable that a Sinn Féin Republic of Ireland party, which can barely seem to remember what it did from 1 week to the next, has such a blatant disregard for the rules. But its active service unit of Piers Doherty and co, who believe in the character assassination of Fine Gael ministers as their primary objective in politics, spent the whole week wasting a lot of time.
Could also when, be yes, said that Fine Gael started the argy-bargy. by not respecting the SIPO rules?
What has happened is, and as Minister Donoghue has clearly in his statements pointed out, he's made a mistake, he's apologised for it. I think it is right that SIPO investigate this. I think it's totally unedifying that you see someone like Piers Doherty, or even this morning Ona Brin, who was absolutely unbelievable in terms of not providing even a half an answer about what his own party's as far as I can see,
he said that they have corrected the record when the issues were raised. And because they're not here, I'm not going to allow you to go to town on Sinn Féin because I don't have them here to respond to that.
That's a bit unfair, Claire.
But it's very easy for you to sit here and talk only about Sinn Féin when actually all this started because of Pascal Donoghue and his admissions, which took a long time to get through because he had to make a number of statements.
Can I come back to
Damien English? No, hang on one second. You've accused Ivana of dragging this out. What she's asked for is a response from your party leader and from the Taoiseach. What is he going to do about Damien English?
Can I just make a reasonable answer to the Sinn Féin point I was making? Ona Brin was allowed to sit and engage in another trash session about Pascal Donoghue this morning. He was brilliantly tackled by, I have to say, Ona Lawler on his own party's behaviour. But nobody was there from Fine Gael to defend Pascal this morning on Morning Ireland. I think it's really regrettable that Sinn Féin didn't put a spokesperson into you here today, because their own party has been exposed. This is a party, remember, that created partition.
It doesn't work like that, and we make decisions as to
rules.
Who's here for the gathering
or not. I just think it's very difficult to be told you can't comment on a party that I think is turning itself into a laughing stock by the way in which it's behaved in the last week.
Could I just say, Claire, can I just reiterate, I think it's reasonable to give the Taoiseach another chance to tell me what he proposes as leader of Fine Gael to do about behaviour that he himself said he wouldn't tolerate. He said that in the Dáil 2 weeks ago to me. This is a very serious issue. It's certainly an issue about which there is a great deal of concern around the country. As I say, so many people, young couples, young families, individuals, denied planning permission for homes. And here we have somebody who failed to disclose information to Meath County Council, which resulted in him being able to build another home. So I think it is a serious issue. But can I just finish to say, you know, Colm accuses me of getting involved in the argy-bargy. On Tuesday, I deliberately stood back from the leaders' questions, argy-bargy between Fine Gael and Sinn Féin on the SIPO rule, and instead I raised the very, very serious issue of all the failings in CAMHS and the child and mental health services, child and adolescent mental health services, an issue which is impacting so severely upon the health of our young people. And, you know, that's the sort of real politics that most people and real issues that most people are concerned about.
Kira.
Yeah, Colm, you mentioned a blatant disregard for the rules, but that's exactly what Damien English did. And Damien English stepped down as minister, but there wasn't severe scrutiny of exactly what had taken place. You said that it was a mistake that he made, but it would be interesting to hear from Damien English. We actually haven't heard from him at all and exactly how he came to the conclusion to put it on his planning permission application that he didn't own another property. The Taoiseach, actually, just to go back to your own PP meeting last week, he received a round of applause from his parliamentary party members. And the Taoiseach, 2 weeks ago in the North, said that he would seek legal advice on whether Damien English had breached any planning legislation. So it would be interesting to hear if he has sought that advice, the outcome of it. So I think Labour's point is fair in giving him another chance before you think about going further with it.
Kevin Doyle, what have you got to say about all of this?
I'm exhausted, to be honest. There's so much politics. None of this is really at the heart of it about transparency. It's all about jockeying for position. It's all about what is going to come here. So what we've seen over the last week is a situation where Pascal Donoghue has spent years, his entire career basically, cultivating this idea of prudent Pascal, the man who can give you a €5 billion surplus, who brought the economy back from the ruins of the economic crash. And in the space of a week or 10 days, Sinn Féin have sought to rip that down, to absolutely get rid of that nickname, which I don't think he maybe liked at the start, but he has grown into. And now he's poster boy Pascal. And come next election, I can tell you already, we'll be out with our cameras and our photographers taking pictures of Pascal Donoghue's posters going up on lampposts and looking at who's putting them up. I'm sure there'll be volunteers.
That says a lot about Irish journalism. I tell you, in one sentence, that says a lot. If the main story for you out of Pascal Donoghue's career, his entire career and all the work he's done in public life, is that you go out and you take pictures of his posters going up in the next election.
Calm down there now. No one knows the main story of the election. But it is a story. My point is there's politics at play. That
there's
he
people
is
listening to you. God help us. Like, I mean, I'm just saying it for your own sake. There are people listening going, that's what the Indo thinks they want to
do.
Is
do you know what? I think people will want to know who's putting up Pascal Donoghue's posters next time, whether he has a pays a company or whether he gets volunteers and how that's done.
Fair,
I think that's
Kevin
fair.
Hasn't said that would be the main story.
No.
I think
you're Colm.
But I think it is a matter of public interest, Colm. I think you'd have to acknowledge that. And, you know, I think that's reasonable.
And sorry, Colm, to cut across you now, because you had a good...
Who come in and talk to me about Pascal, talk about his record. Don't talk about these posters.
No, we'll go back for a minute, right? Because you just laid into Sinn Féin there at huge length. And how do you know about that? Because of the media. Did you think that was the biggest story of the week? Maybe you did, because the way that's what you've been talking about, Colm. And I'm not disagreeing with some of what you said, but like the real problem in all of this, Claire, is that the actual watchdogs are utterly useless. I mean, there's no point in even trying to come up with a nice adjective. It's just rubbish, because the Sinn Féin stuff which came out around all the hotels was early in the week. Fionnán Sheehan, who wrote the original story on that, came to me and was like, I don't think Sinn Féin have put anything in for all these events they had. And I was like, nah, that's too simplistic. Mm-hmm. It's not. And he gave me the documents, and it was so blatantly obvious, because I was covering politics in 2016. I remember being at the event in the Royal Irish Academy and all those, and there was just nothing listed there. And you're like, so if he's gone, just opened up the file, flicked through it and went, there's nothing here about any press conferences or any publicity events. How on earth did SIPO never go through those documents and spot that? And I think that's the real problem here, is that the watchdog is utterly useless.
And it would seem that politicians know that.
Well, indeed. I mean, you know, SIPO have been looking for some years now for an extension to their powers. And for example, crucially, the power to take an investigation, to undertake an investigation on their own initiative. And Brendan Howlin, years ago, put forward a public sector standards bill that would have made those reforms to SIPO, that would have given them more teeth. Because I think it is acknowledged that they need to have more power. They need to have more resources to be able to police the ethics legislation properly. And, you know, the government at the time supported Brendan Howland's legislation, but has sat on it in the 7 years
since. But it seems to me, Ivana, so maybe the two politicians can correct me if wrong, but it seems when politicians make declarations that they're just taken at face value. Mm-hmm. That no, there's no actual real scrutiny of them at all.
Well, I think that's exactly the point, that if the Standards in Public Office Commission was granted the power, which, you know, it should be, we have the legislation ready to, you know, that has already been through second stage in the Dáil, but has been sitting, languishing since then, with the government apparently refusing or unwilling to bring it forward. This legislation would give SIPO the power to undertake investigations on their own behest without waiting for complaints. And I think that itself would give them a much greater level of scrutiny over the sort of declarations you say, because I think that's true.
It is bringing forward,
well,
and made it very clear that they will
bring
forward.
I did ask the Taoiseach that, and he said
that. I heard various ministers
that
say that quite clearly, including the Taoiseach.
I heard him say it too, but I see no sign of urgency about that.
What about Damien English? Does he need to say more publicly about what happened?
Well, I think that Damien has paid the price. I've known Damien for years. I think he is a guy who has done incredible work as a minister.
That's fine.
And I think he has paid a very high price.
But all we've heard from Damien English is what he said in a Twitter video.
Yeah. And I mean, he has made a mistake and he has paid the price of doing that. And I think now is a situation where if Anna makes her complaint or if the process goes on in whatever way it goes on. But I think Damien has paid the price and he will make his own judgment call as to what
serious.
He...
It's very serious. Should he not come into the Dáil, make a statement and take questions?
Well, I believe that what Damien has done is the right thing in resigning as a minister, and I believe if there is a process of somebody making a complaint, be it the Labour Party or anybody else, that is a process that would give an answer to that.
But do you not think that Fine Gael are in government, and given all of the issues, we've reform of the planning legislation yesterday, the constant discussion about the housing crisis, do you not think that one of your ministers who was forced to resign because what has been put forward, that he lied on a planning application, should explain for himself, Colm? You actually think it's good enough for Damien English to give an explanation in a Twitter video?
Well, what I said is that I think if there is a process which there's a complaint or anything, I think that's a process which will work its way through and which would iron out the issues involved. But I think Damien has resigned as a minister, and that is an awful price to pay because, I mean, he gave effectively a decade of service as a minister, and everybody, at least everybody that I have ever talked to, acknowledges that he did an excellent job on that. And he made a mistake. He made very clear that he made a mistake and he resigned because of it.
Albeit Sinn Féin are not in government, but if this was a Sinn Féin TD, I guess your argument would be very different.
Well, Sinn Féin don't answer for anything. Just remember that Sinn Féin try and make a virtue of the fact that they're going to amend returns or whatever, but they don't actually explain things. And they operate in a very secretive organisation, in a party that's completely different in terms of its structures to any other political party, and in a party that actually split itself in two so as it could trouser the guts of a million
That is an unfair accusation.
It's the absolute truth. Sinn Féin took a donation which was not legal. You can't attribute that
motivation to they're an all-Ireland party. They're
not an all-Ireland party. That's the one thing about Sinn Féin.
Wanted
to trouser the money from the donation from the gentleman who left him a house, they created two entities of Sinn Féin. One where they could take the money up north, ignore the SIPO rules. If we want to talk about a bit of a change, why wouldn't SIPO say to, or why wouldn't Sinn Féin actually voluntarily say that they would observe for both jurisdictions the rules that apply here in terms of SIPO? So they would not be able to go round the world taking golf money, big dinner money and trousering money from donations that are not actually legal to accept for their public representative or party in the Republic of Ireland.
Not in the Republic of Ireland, but it is legal for them to do it elsewhere.
It is legal for them to do it in the North.
Could I just say, listening to Colm there, this is typical Fine Gael deflection tactics. He hasn't answered the question about former Minister Damien English, and I should say, I and my Labour colleagues absolutely acknowledged former Minister English was right to resign, that he did so very promptly. But what we want to know now is what the Taoiseach, as leader of the Fine Gael party, proposes to do in terms of party discipline that the Taoiseach himself referred to when I raised this with him in the Dáil last week, but which he seemed to have rode back from when I asked him again this week what was happening. I think it's simply not good enough, Colm, that the Taoiseach, who says he doesn't tolerate this behaviour in his party, will simply sit on his hands and do nothing. And of course, yes, we will put forward the complaint if we have to next week to the Committee on Members' Interests, but we believe that there should be action taken by Fine Gael, and that would be a fair and proportionate thing to do. You know, that's up to Fine Gael to do it, but the Taoiseach himself referred to this and has now rode back from it. And I think, you know, that itself tells the tales. So I think to deflect from this, is simply not answering the question. I should say, finally, yes, you know, former Minister English has years of service, including as junior Minister of Housing, you know, and I think that itself is something that certainly people have come to me about to express their frustration. People who cannot get homes themselves.
No, I think people are probably tired of this now because there is an element of they're all at it. They've all messed up. They all have shoddy bookkeeping, shoddy admin. And there's an element of volunteers doing a lot of this, which is probably not the way it should work as well in terms of the bookkeeping around elections. So the whole thing needs to be cleaned up. But I think in terms of, like, Pascal Donoghue is safe now. Sinn Féin are going to make their amendments and move on and pretend that their part in this wasn't a big deal at all. And really, I think politics should probably wrap it up now and move on. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and fix the rules and fix the reporting mechanisms.
Well, as I say, we've been trying to get the rules changed and to improve
and
the powers of SIPO.
Is there to change the rules and to make those improvements?
We'll be holding government to that, but we want to see urgency about that. 7 years languishing.
That's why we've made that commitment. We'll do it.
Earlier in the programme, Brian O'Connell was reporting on the modular homes. Now, we believe that they're modular homes for Ukrainian refugees outside Mallow Town. Ciara, we might start with you on this. And there's a protest there, and it seems that local people are preventing the contractors from getting in onto the site. And we know that the OPW has plans to do this. 500 homes will be built around the country. Is that a taste of what's to come?
I think so. It was interesting to hear from the residents who are saying that it's because of a lack of communication. And this is the theme that is consistent over the last 2 weeks. I would say I've been covering the refugee accommodation situation. And it seems even from TDs that they are frustrated. Fianna Fáil TD Cathal Crowe had put in PQs with the Integration Minister to ask about the use of a warehouse facility in Shannon, County Clare. And Minister O'Gorman came back and said he couldn't give him that information, but yet it was confirmed to him while he was on drive time that day. And I believe there's actually going to be a meeting in Shannon about this. And what he said to me was, back in March, IPAS were on the ground, they had boots on the ground and were in consultation with communities and actually helping refugees to adapt into the communities and discussing the impact that it would have on services, and it went really well. And essentially it seems that there is a different approach being taken towards putting refugees into facilities. Like, we have an accommodation shortage, so what's happening is they're trying to find the likes of office buildings and big warehouse facilities that are empty, and moving them through the night as well is one issue that has been outlined to me that is causing some issues. And basically the issue is that they just want further communication, but what comes of that communication and whether the protests will end is a separate issue.
It's striking a balance, isn't it, Colm? And I know that with the modular homes, these are being built under emergency planning legislation, so people won't get to hear about them necessarily in advance. Do you still think that there should be some level of consultation?
Absolutely. And I think it is really important in terms of getting that balance right. I heard your piece earlier on. I heard the Fine Gael councillor make the excellent point about that just the process of what they're now getting, unfortunately too late, of sitting down and saying, this is what we're building, where we're building it, we're going to move forward very, very quickly. We have to do this in an expedited way because of the crisis that we're in terms of trying to accommodate. And we have to remember this. People who are coming from the other stories in the news today, people who are coming from a country where missiles are raining in on family homes and apartments, and people are being killed on a daily basis. So we have to get that balance right. But my fear is this, that if you don't have any form of consultation, if you don't have any form of information flow, you actually create the vacuum which gives rise for people to exploit. And at that moment, there's a very small number of people, but a very, very aggressive, active number of people who want to exploit that vacuum and who want to turn the traditional Irish welcome and the traditional Irish engagement of being open to bringing people in and turn that
on
its head.
Though, and I know you heard that report from Mallow. Yeah. They were local people with very genuine concerns.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. A small number of local people can have genuine concerns, because this is the point I'm making, because you have that lack of information. But the point is, in the background, there were people who will want to exploit that, and they will want to exploit the fears of local people, local public representatives. And what the onus should be on the ministers involved is, through information and short but proper consultation, to basically stop that happening.
Okay, Ivana?
Well, I agree with Colm, but he's a member of a government party, and it's up to government to ensure that that information vacuum is filled, because Colm's quite right. Yes. There are, unfortunately, people exploiting the information gap, and then there are people who are genuinely just unclear as to what's happening. We in Labour have been highly critical of government for the lack of delivery of that sort of comprehensive public information campaign that we saw so successfully rolled out during COVID. But what we need to see now rolled out in this situation where we do have large numbers of people who are fleeing desperate situations, particularly in Ukraine, and coming here for refuge. We've called on government to ensure central coordination of the accommodation effort. What I'm hearing from those on the ground seeking to provide accommodation and shelter is a lack of coordination. IPAS described to me as being in disarray, multiple offers of accommodation which have not been taken up by government. I've raised numerous times myself in the Dáil and directly with ministers, big properties in my own area, big empty places, Jury's Hotel, Bagot Street Hospital. There's no central repository which is taking these and looking to see whether they can be made operational. We're left in opposition with a lack of information when issues are happening in our own constituencies. You know, we need to see a much more coordinated government approach.
We're led to believe that all of those opportunities and all of those properties are being exploited and explored.
But
you're saying they're not.
No central office, no central unit to whom we go on this. Minister O'Gorman's department has done an amazing job. They've met his officials. I know what they're doing. But I think they're overwhelmed. I don't think it's good enough. I don't think it's good enough that they've been left to carry the can on this. I think the Taoiseach needs to take this on. I think there needs to be a much clearer line of authority for Department of Housing in particular, for local authorities, a coordination overall. As I say, Claire, I'm hearing really disturbing things about the accommodation that's been offered and that hasn't been taken up. And, you know, it's appalling to see people turned away from City West with a food voucher, told we'll ring you or we'll email you when something comes available, and then to see the pressures on the services like the Capuchin Day Centre, the Simon Community are picking up the pieces. So central coordination is what's needed.
We're coming up on the first anniversary of the war in Ukraine at the end of the month, and if we go back to that time, I always think back, at the time the government was putting numbers of 100,000 on it, and we haven't actually reached close to that. Well, we're creeping up towards that number, but we haven't got there. We're a long way from it. And yet we never put anything in place for 100,000 people. So it shouldn't. I know that the line is that there's more and more coming and we're running out of space. And I think, in fairness, it is an emergency. It is a crisis, and that's hard to deal with. But we should have been planning for the 100,000, which we clearly didn't do. If 100,000 people had actually come here at this stage, there would be tens of thousands of those probably out on the street. But I think going back to Colm's point and Ivana's in a way as well, around the two things that are happening here, which is the local community concerns, which we heard in Brian's report, which I think everybody who spoke there was quite reasonable in what they were saying. No more than if someone decided to build an apartment block beside your house, there's a whole planning process you go and you can make your observations. Whereas these things kind of just arrived. And the best way to fight misinformation sometimes is facts. And there is, I think, a narrative building out there that Ireland's full. And I think that's building because there aren't enough facts around what is happening here. And I think sometimes that we, and I say this as a collective Irish person, average Irish person, don't fully understand what we mean when we say we give people accommodation. Like, we hear hotels, and when we think of hotels, we think of holidays and we think of nice things. I spoke to a girl last week who has been here for several years, was a victim of human trafficking. She's been living in a hotel in a room with six people for years in the Midlands. And she's studying and she's working. And she's here by right and has all her papers and everything. It's been decided she can be here.
But she's nowhere to move on to.
But she has nowhere to move on to because it's next to impossible in the other housing crisis. And all these things are intertwined, that there are many people trapped in direct provision and in centres because they simply can't rent somewhere either on the flip side of it. So I'm not sure that we fully understand what the people in these accommodation centres are actually having to put up with. It might be better than worrying about a bomb landing in your house at night. But it's far from pleasant.
I just wonder what the solution is. I know you say there needs to be centralised leadership on this. We had the appointment of Joe O'Brien as Minister of State. Roderick O'Gorman was here with us recently and said, look, before the reshuffle, that, you know, he can handle this, he can deal with it. Are you talking about a ministerial appointment or an administrative appointment?
Well, we've asked for the Taoiseach to illustrate to us, show us where the centralised coordination is coming from. He's responded to me to say that there is a subcommittee set up and that there's, and obviously junior minister with Joe O'Brien, but clearly it isn't being handled because we are being told there is no longer capacity to accommodate people who arrive here seeking refuge.
I see the latest figures are that 55 people have arrived this week and have been left without state-provided accommodation.
I mean, that's appalling. So it clearly isn't working and we do need to see more centralised control. How he does it is up to him, but we need to hear clearer lines of authority and responsibility.
I'm just about out of time, so quick word, Kieran.
In fairness, though, officials are working, you know, night and day to try and find alternative accommodation. But what has emerged in the last 2 weeks, when I was speaking to government, senior government sources are saying that when they're going to accommodation providers, they're reluctant to take asylum seekers from other countries and are more willing to actually take Ukrainians. And part of the reason being is because of this vacuum of misinformation and some far-right protests. And providers just don't want the hassle of groups coming outside their accommodation, their hotels.
Exactly. All right, we'll leave it there. Thank you all for coming in. Colm Brophy, Ivana Batcha, Kevin Doyle and Ciara Phelan, back after this.
Today with Clare Byrne. Listen back on the RTE Radio Player app.